Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, our saints. Say shalom.
Shalom.
Hallelujah. That's a blessing to be sharing with you today. We just want to welcome you to Christians Community Center, or 3CLA, as we call it, the Church of Truth Seekers. We want to not just thank those that are here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in online in iChurch. It is a blessing to have you join us. Amen. You know, the whole reason that we are called the Church for Truth Seekers is that we are attempting to go beyond the typical trend of a lot of believers travel. They just want to do just enough. Just want to do just enough to get in. I want to do just enough. I want to be saved just enough to get a prayer through. But just enough ain't good enough. It's not good enough. And so our desire is that the truth needs to be shared. The truth needs to be released into the world today. And it doesn't always feel good. And the truth is not always easy. Who knows what I'm talking about? The truth don't always feel good. And it's not always easy. But we're committed to the truth because we care more about your life than your feelings. Amen? So sometimes, you know, people cater to the feelings. But I thank Yahweh that we are catering to the life. We want the truth to be known. And so the beauty of the Hebrew is that you bring the old and the new together. You know, a lot of people want to do one of two things. They either want to say, oh, well, the Old Testament is gone. We have to be with this new stuff. And then some people say, no, it's just the Old Testament and we ain't about the new stuff. But Yeshua came that the two might be what? Brought together. And every time we talk about old stuff, people think that old stuff is substandard, that is out of style, it's not good enough. You know, I don't agree with that. There's some old stuff. Some of y'all are some OG, we got some OG saints out here. Old stuff has some value to it, it has some what? Wisdom up in there. Do we have any OG? You've been saved for more than 20 years or so. Holla, OG saints. Okay, we got any new breeds in the house? You know, you the new school. Where you at? But to prove my point, you know, a lot of people like these new houses. I don't know. You know, I like the old houses. One of my favorite areas, I have not had the benefit of living there, but anybody know about Ladera Heights? Yeah. Oh, and here. And those houses are just spread out. Just one story. But it's like, it's one level. And it's just spread. Who say ranch style? Yes. I love that. But they don't make houses like that no more. You know, I'm so tired. The older I get, the less I like going up and downstairs. I need one level. And I love those old homes. I love the value that they have. But that's the beauty of the word, is bringing the old with the new and seeing how they're connecting together. There's wisdom there and there's understanding there. So let's go to Hosea. And if you are a Hebrew scholar, the Hebrew name for Hosea is Hoshea. And we want to go to the fourth chapter. And I don't know about you, but I just don't want to scratch the surface of my salvation. I want to go deep. I want a deeper level of understanding. And so when we go to Hosea or Hoshea, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse. If you got it, say, I got it. And so it says, my people are destroyed because of something. It says, for the lack of knowledge. And then it goes on to say, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also what? Reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That's a pretty powerful statement. That's a pretty deep statement, pretty profound statement. It's a statement that don't feel good, but it's true. Who are his people? You are his people. We are his people. And we're destroyed because of something. But when we look at the Hebrew word for knowledge, that Hebrew word is da'at. Say da'at. And it's not the kind of knowledge you get from just knowing something. It's not the kind of knowledge you get because you think you're so smart. It's not the knowledge that you get just because you got an AA or a BA or a PhD. Or did I leave any D's out? Any degrees out? Candace, did I leave out any? Because you got about three or four of them. M-A. But it's the knowledge that comes by putting something into practice. So it's the knowledge that comes by doing it over and over, applying it to your life, by living it, by experiencing. It's that kind of knowledge. And what happens when you utilize that knowledge is what? You can grow, and that knowledge grows, and it builds upon itself. Now, not only are these people destroyed because they don't know something, but they're also destroyed because they know something, but they're not applying it and using it. They're not doing it, practicing it on a daily basis. So you can have knowledge, but if you don't use knowledge, it's not going to be a benefit to you. So you can be lost if you don't know something, and you can be lost if you know something and you're not doing it. So we can say that not only are our people destroyed by a lack of knowledge, but we can also say our people are destroyed by a lack of application of knowledge. So you can sit up in a church house every week. You can come two or three times a week and hear. But if you're not applying that knowledge to your life, you can still be what? Destroyed. And if you're not practicing it and putting it into applying it to your life, then what does the word say in that chapter? They're destroyed by a lack of knowledge or a lack of application of knowledge because thou hast what? So if you choose not to do the knowledge that you've acquired, you're rejecting it, right? And so the Bible is telling us, the word is telling us that we're destroyed because we're not applying the knowledge Amen. That he's given us to apply, right? And that is the Hebrew concept of knowledge. So there's a situation when we go to the Old Testament, go to Numbers. And if you are a Hebrew scholar, the name for Numbers is what? Bamidbar. So there's a situation in Numbers. If you heard about Phinehas or Pinchas in the Hebrew,
Say penniless. No, 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 no. You gotta put that. Penniless. That's the Hebrew name for Phineas. Say it one more time, but lean away from your neighbor because you don't want to get on him. Phineas, right? Yeah, right? And so he's a descendant of Aaron. And so you can learn a lot from the children of Israel. See, me, myself, I'm a different kind of learner. Not only do I learn because of the things that I go through, but I learn because of what I see other people go through. And I don't have to go to the University of Hard Knocks. Anybody know that, been to that university? That university is like this. You feel like you gotta go through it and find out for yourself. And you won't believe it unless you experience it and get your head butt and you get knocked out. It's not good enough that somebody tells you what you shouldn't do. You wanna get your head bumped yourself. But see, I had a hard-headed brother, not Tim. But Tim, you know, he was hard-headed too. But praise Yahweh. But when we look to our older siblings sometime, and when my older brother bumped his head, then I was like, okay, I don't want to bump my head like that. So let me, what? Learn from that. So I would learn from that. You know, and I don't know if Tim was trying to learn from me, but he, you know, he went to the University of Hard Knocks. He didn't believe it. The fat meat was greasy. But you know what? Today, he has got it all together. I'm praying for the rest of my family that we all get it, what? Together. And you're praying for your family that they get it together. But a lot of times we instead of observing and listening and learning from that experience, and, you know, I said this before, I'll say it again. I grew up in the avenues, 4th Avenue, right off of Slauson and Crenshaw. And the houses there have floor heaters. It was a grill on the floor. Right in, anybody grew up like that? The grill was right there. And you turn, and the concept was that you turn on the grill in the middle and it was supposed to heat all the rooms, right? And so that thing was hot. And parents would always say, hey, don't touch it, don't go around it. Even when it's not on, you should what? But, you know, I was stomping on that thing. You know, it was cold. I was just like, hey, you know, it's not on. Oh, but one morning, I walked across that thing, and it was on. And if anybody knows about those heaters, they had grill marks. And the up under my heel, the grill marks was there. You know how you be doing them hot dogs and hamburgers? It was like that. But I finally learned what? Don't walk across that thing. But a lot of times, Yahweh is trying to help us and trying to warn us, and we're not taking what? Heed. And so, if we go to Numbers, the children of Israel, he was trying to help them. He showed them all kinds of stuff when he took them out of Egypt or Mizraim, right? They were on that journey to the promised land. I mean, if I had seen a pillar of clouds by day, and if I saw fire by night, if I saw the Red Sea open up, I would definitely. If I saw all those miracles, you could not tell me nothing. You could not tell me that Yahweh was real. He was not real. You could not tell me. You could not convince me that Yahweh wasn't on my side. He done raised up. He done split a sea in the middle. He did all those things, and yet they still did not what? Believe him. So anyway, they were going to the land of the promise, and I liken the children of Israel to each and every one of us. Who's on the journey? Who has a promised land? You know there's something that Yahweh has for you to do. You know there's a purpose. You know there's something that he needs you to do, and you're on that journey. Well, you can learn a lot from these guys, the journey that they did. And so there was the Midianite people had an evil king, and the evil king's name was King Balak. We say Balak. It's supposed to be Baal, like Ba, say Barak. Balak. Balak, that was his name. Say Balak.
Balak.
All right, and so that's how you pronounce it. But, you know, I came up saying Balak. You know, we do it how we see it. And so when we see that, he was the king, evil king, and he had heard that Israel had defeated all of his foes. Everybody tried to come up against the children of Israel. They always what? They lost. Yahweh was with who? The children of Israel, right? And so he would defeat their enemies. So he saw all this, and he wanted to defeat them. So he says, I want to hire a prophet. And the prophet's name was Balaam. Say Balaam.
Balaam.
And he hired that prophet, and he wanted the prophet to do something. He wanted that prophet to go to the children of Israel and curse them. Right? So let's go here. Numbers 22. Numbers, or Bar Mitzvah, the 22nd chapter. 10th verse. You got it? Numbers 22, 10. Because we got to show this in the Word. And so Balaam said unto Yahweh, do you see that? Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, or the Moabite, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covered the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. So he's saying, I need you to do something. I need you to curse them so that I can what? Drive them out, overtake them. And Yahweh said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Who knows that you can't curse what Yahweh has blessed? Look around the room. Y'all blessed. You are kingdom children. You are inheritance of the Most High God. Tell your neighbor, you are blessed. Say, we are blessed. Say, Yahweh has blessed us. Somebody needs to say hallelujah and thank you because you're blessed. And so that's where we miss out a lot of times. We don't embrace the fact that by the mere reason why we're sitting here, we serving an awesome God. We're serving a mighty God. We're serving a God that can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. And as long as we're serving him, we're blessed. He's put a blessing on us. And people might try to come and try to put a curse on us, but as long as we with Yahweh, we cannot be cursed. You can't do it. You're blessed. Tell yourself, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
And a lot of times we're not embracing that. So he couldn't do it. And a lot of times you cannot fear, because fear tries to come and rob you of your blessing. But rather, if you're going through this journey with Yahweh, you got to trust and believe that Yahweh is going to do what he said he is going to do. You have to stand on his word and not doubt and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what comes, no matter what somebody says, no matter what tries to materialize, you are still blessed. And can't nobody curse you. Can't no devil in hell curse you as long as you bless.
Amen.
Amen? Who knows that they're blessed? You got to know it, though. You got to know it. And so, as long as we're doing that, so what did Balaam do? Basically, he went back, and I'm trying to speed it up because of the time I have, but Balaam told Balak, I can't. Curse him. I can't do it. So go to the 23rd verse. He tr- He tried, but he could not what? He couldn't get it out. So he ordered Numbers, the 23rd chapter, the 19th verse. And so you got Bar Mitzvah Numbers 23. If you got to say, I got it. 19th chapter says what? Yahweh is what? Not a man that he should lie. So this is the situation. Balaam couldn't curse him because Yahweh had blessed him. And so by his own admonition, this is what he says. Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he what? Not do it, which means hasn't he said what he's going to do? And because he cannot lie, if he said he was going to do something, how is he? He's got to what? He's going to do it. Has he said, shall he not do it? If Yahweh said he's going to do something, why is he not going to do it? As long as you are in right standing, as long as you are blessed, as long as you are still standing on his word, as long as you are still believing, Yahweh is going to do what he said he's going to do. And so he says, or hath he spoken? Shall he not make it good? So he said in the scripture, basically, ain't he going to do it? He got to do it. And if he said it, isn't he going to what? Make it good? Tell your neighbor it's all good. He said he was going to do it. So it's what? It's good. You serve a God that's good on his word. If he said it, he going to do it. Tell your neighbor, if he said it, he going to do it. So stop tripping. And you give him the praise. We're looking for something so deep that you have to be a Phi Beta Kappa to understand it. You don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa. What's a Phi Beta Kappa? That's what you would always say. What is a Phi Beta Kappa? I said, okay. But you ain't gotta tell your neighbor it's simple. It's simple. Stop looking for, you looking for something deep. It's simple. Say, trust Yahweh. Say, that's it. It's that simple. Does anybody believe it's that simple? Just trust him. And so that's what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to get you off track. The enemy tries to get you in a situation where you start doubting what Yahweh said he's going to do. You start fearing, and you start tripping and getting scared, and you start stressing out. Your body is not built for that stress. Your body is not built for not trusting Yahweh. Because what does stress do?
Heal you.
It breaks you down. You got your heart rate going all up. You got your arteries getting all clogged up and messed up. Your hair falling out. Your skin getting all ashy and itchy. You losing teeth. You can't eat. You got diarrhea. And if you ain't got diarrhea, you're constipated. That's sickness. Fear is sickness. To believe and trust Yahweh is life. I don't know what you're choosing, but I'm choosing life. I'm choosing to believe. I don't let stuff stress me out and mess me up no more. I used to. That's why I ain't got the hair that I should have right now. I should have more hair. I should look like Ryan right now. But, you know, I learned. Sometimes you get sick and tired of stressing out. Who's sick and tired of stressing out? Stop. I just have to learn to stop. If I didn't have the answer, I just cast it on Yahweh. Because he told me, cast my cares upon him. Because he what? Cares for me. That means means he takes care of me. He provides for me. He does the things for me that I can't do for myself. When I need help, he's right there. And sometimes I don't need just regular help. I need something that is even more stronger than help. I need help. Because I ain't got time to say help. I just say help. It's that simple. And so when we're looking at that, he's talking about, he says, I cannot, wait. So the 20th verse says what? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. So he went up in there thinking that he was going to curse them, but he ended up blessing them four times because he couldn't curse them. He had to bless them. And he said, behold, I've received commandment to bless. And he hath blessed. Who's he? Yahweh has blessed. And what? I cannot what? Tell your neighbor, he cannot reverse it. See, people are going to try to come to reverse your blessing. And the reason why people are coming, because the enemy uses what? People. He uses people. He can use your friends and family. He can tell them. They're trying to tell you something adverse to what Yahweh has said. And you, how many believers do we have in the house? Well, hey, there's some dream crushers out there. You tell them what Yahweh said. You tell them what Yahweh's going to do. And what do they say? Oh, no, he ain't going to do that. But you just dreaming. That ain't going to happen. Dream crushers. Sent from the pits of hell. I count dream crushers all the time. And I say, get thee behind me, Satan. Yahweh said he was going to bless me. Yahweh said what he was going to do. Yahweh said he was going to provide. Yahweh said he's going to help. And I choose to believe what Yahweh said he was going to do. I'm going to do that. But if you read a little further into this story, if you read a little deeper into what happened, not only in Numbers, but in Deuteronomy and in Revelation, we find that Balaam, even though he couldn't curse them, check this out. He says, I can't curse them, but I can tell you a way that you can get them to curse themselves. I can't do it, but I can tell you how you can get them to curse themselves. Sometimes, saints, the only thing that stands in the way of your blessing and achieving what Yahweh has promised you is you. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's that simple. Because you're the one that got to stand and believe. You're the one that got, when naysayers come and dream crushers come, when the enemy comes, you got to what? Cast that stuff down. Cast it down. You can't, they can't even get it out, but you can't, no. Cast it down. Don't let, see, you as believers, you're trying to be nice, and you're trying to be sweet, and you're trying to make it so everybody likes you. But when somebody is speaking negativity, if somebody is speaking against the word of God, you got to check them. You got to put them in what? Check. His word said, and you trying to be not, why are you trying to be all nice and sweet? They trying to crush your dream. So you got to what? Set them straight. Tell your neighbor next time, check them. Don't come to me with no negative stuff. Don't come to me with no mess. Don't come with me with no doubt. Don't come to me with no fear. In the name of Yeshua, he has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I believe what he said. That's what he said he was going to do. So the choice is what? Yours, say the choice is mine. So how did he get them to curse themselves? Well, this is what he said. He said, go and get your finest Moabite women. Uh-oh. You can get some of them six-pack men for the ladies, too. Eight-pack? Oh, no. See, the sure way of getting to you is to have somebody slide up next to you. It works every time. He got some fine Moabite women. And what they do? They said, get those fine Moabite women to intermingle with the children of Israel. And when you get them finagling and dating and doing all kinds of stuff, not only are they going to entice them into sexual sin, but they're going to entice them to start serving idols. They're going to entice them to start doing stuff that they would not normally do. What? To break down. And he said, and then when you do that, then Yahweh is not going to be pleased with that, because he's a jealous God. He doesn't want any idols, what? Being worshipped instead of him. And then Yahweh is going to cause judgment to come upon them. See, Yahweh ain't got a curse. He's already blessed you. How do we know that? Let's go to Deuteronomy. People think that Yahweh is cursed. No, he ain't doing that. You got some Moabites that you done slid up with. You allowing yourself to be influenced by icy and indifferent feelings and spirits and people. Right? Because can't nobody mess with your blessing but you. Because you already blessed. Say, I'm already blessed. So can't nobody take your blessing. You got to do something. And so when we go to Deuteronomy, did I say Deuteronomy? Yes. Deuteronomy, 30th chapter. And go to the 16th verse. And this is the same all the time. We serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forevermore. Stop blaming people for what happens to you. You can't blame people. You got to stand. People are going to do what people do. And people are trying to what? Mess with you. They're trying to get you off track. And I'm tired of using the words. I don't want to say haters, but a lot of times when you are on the high, you are on the come up. And as a believer, you on the come up. I got to mean believers in the house? Okay, you guys are on the come up. A lot of times people see that and they want to what? But they can't bring you down. You're the only one that can have something to do with that. Because the word says, and Deuteronomy 30, 16 says what? In that I command thee this day to do something. He didn't say it's optional. He didn't say, well, you can do this if you want to do it. This is something that he's saying, I command you that you must do this. And when you're commanded to do something, it's not an option. You gotta what? Do it. So in that I command thee this day to what? Love Yahweh, your God, your Elohim. Anybody love him? See, maybe you need to do a checklist. Maybe there's something in the equation that you're lacking if things aren't turning out the way that you're anticipating them to. So I suggest you check yourself. We got to check people, but a lot of times we got to what? Check myself. Tell yourself, I got to keep myself in check. I got to keep myself in check. I got to keep myself in check too. Well, you pass the time. No, pass the time. Got to keep himself in check. We got this flesh. As long as we're in this flesh, we all got a what? We got more flesh, more problems. Puffy should have changed the song. It's not more just more money, no more problems. It's more flesh. More flesh, more what? More problems. And so we all have to walk this. And so it says, I command you this day, what, to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways. Who's walking in his ways? Don't raise your hand. You got to be sure. So I need to love him. I need to walk in his ways. And it says, and to keep his what? Commandments and his statutes and his judgments. And if I do those things, what happens? That thou mayest what? Live and multiply. And it says, and Yahweh thy Elohim shall what? Bless thee in the land whither thou goest what? To possess. So can't nobody stop you to possess the land as long as you're what? You're loving him. You're walking in his ways. You're keeping his commandments, statutes, and judgments. And if you're doing that stuff, you're living. And what is this all? It's simply this. Love him and do his word. Say, love him and do his word. And he says he's going to bless you. But the next verse says what? 17. It says what? Wait. But you got to watch when you see. But you got to understand that there's something that can hinder or try to hinder if you're not taking heed. So it says what? But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be what? Drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. So if somebody says, hey, well, I'm not putting I'm making a graven image and worshiping it. Anybody got a car? Car can be an idol. You out there buffing and working on that thing every day. You parking 2 miles away from everybody else. Right? You are doing something with that. Anybody got money? You do whatever you can do to what? I gotta get, you know, it's almost a mantra today. I gotta get this money. I gotta be about my money. I gotta do this money. You know, it's about that pocket. It's about the cash. It's about the hustle. Any hustlers in the house? Stop. Don't raise your hand. Money chasers, you know, we use that jargon. You're like, I gotta be about my paper. Well, you should be about this paper. You should be about the word of Yahweh. And if you follow that paper, other paper will be added to you. But we get all sidetracked. And we think that serving other idols and gods means that we actually got a statue sitting there. But it's you can be worshiping your bank account. You checking that bank account every day? See what's going through that bank account every day? You got 15 cents and you're trying to make a dollar out of it every day? You think it's going to grow? But that's what we're doing. We got other stuff that's like taking our attention. And Yahweh told us in his word, he loved me. Just do my commandments. I'm going to take care of all that. But you got to, but if your heart turns away, somebody say attitude. That bad attitude, well, you start turning away. Well, I don't need to go to church. I got to be about my paper. I know I got to work on Sunday. I got to work. Yeah, I got to go to work. I got to make this paper. But you know, to come to Bible study, I got this job. I got to be about my paper. A lot of times, y'all ain't got to work on Sunday. You're just using an excuse. You're just getting overtime. And nobody told you have to do it. Oh, it's the quiet now. You're messing with somebody. Okay. Sometimes you got to work, but not all the time. Sometimes you get off at 6 o'clock, you can still make seven. Well, I have to be at work, but you got off at 6:30. Come on. Even if you're late, come on. The word is still going forth. Come on. Turn on the computer. We're streaming live now. Come on. Get it. Wherever you can get the word, get it. Stop making excuses for why you can't do stuff for Yahweh. Serve him. Do his commandments. Do what he says. The payoff is going to be a whole lot greater. It's going to be a whole lot greater for you. But what happens, we get distracted, and that's what the enemy is doing in this day and age. The church is becoming so cold. The church is becoming a place where it's so optional. You know, it's like, I'll do it every now and then. Your help cometh from Yahweh. And the more, it's 2015, saints. The more these years go by, have you guys seen how evil is just presenting itself more and more? I was told the other day that where our church used to be, Broadway and Manchester, they got this 100 killing thing going on, where these gangs are now saying they want to kill 100 people in a certain radius in L.A., 100 women. You see, you guys got to... Y'all got to turn on the TV sometime. Get off of Facebook. Stop being up in Facebook. It's not going to tell you everything that's happening, especially in your neck of the woods. You need to know what the enemy is trying to do in your territory. But I declare and I decree right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Somebody tried to say something was going to go on in Long Beach. They were trying to do some stuff in Long Beach. I come against that right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. The evil cannot stand. It cannot exist as long as the believers are standing. Do we have some believers that are going to stand for their territory? Do we have any believers that are going to stand for what Yahweh said he's going to do? Do his word. You gotta stand. Do I got anybody that's gonna stand for Yahweh? That's gonna declare Yahweh. Hallelujah. The enemy ain't gonna get no more territory. The enemy ain't gonna get no more victory. We gonna take our victory back. Say we're taking it back. We're taking it back. We ain't giving up nothing. Because as more as these times get longer and longer and darker, we're already in the last days. We get deeper into the last days. You guys gonna see stuff happening. You gotta stop being lukewarm. You gotta start standing for what Yahweh. And the enemy's trying to get you to swerve. He's trying to get you to serve other guys. He's trying to get you distracted. That is what's happening in this day and age. Say distraction. We're going to find out next week how we can get through that. By your heads, Father Yahweh, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you, Father, for the things that you're opening up to us. Father, we know that you're seeking true worshipers that are going to worship you in spirit and truth. They're going to love you. That are going to do thy ways. That are going to do your commandments and statutes. Judgments that are going to believe on you. We want to be those people. Minister to us right now in the mighty name of Yeshua, the things that we need to address and correct in our lives. We want all of the blessings that you set are there for us, not monetary blessings necessarily, but peace and shalom. That's a blessing. Joy in our hearts, that's a blessing. Contentment in you, that is a blessing. So we embrace those things right now. Show us. Keep us. Transform us. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Bow your heads. Keep your head bowed. I'm going to make a call really quickly. Just to those who are saying, I want the new life. I want to make a stand. I know that
There's a blessing in that. I know that there's freedom in that. I know that there's peace in that. I've been living my way, my life. But now, I know I need a change. I know I need you. And so if that's you this morning, if you're saying, hey, I know what I need. And I need Yahweh. I know this. You can declare that. You can decree that today. We can pray for you today for that process. And if that's you, you're saying, hey, I want a relationship with the Father. I want this. I know it's real. If that's you, just raise your hand and we pray for you. Pray for you. Amen. It's one. Hallelujah. Saying, I want this. I want this. I know that I want this. I know that you're ministering to me. I know that you're drawing me. I'm answering it today. Second call I'm going to make is for those who say, hey, listen, I had a relationship, but I'm not as close as I used to be. So I want to be restored back. I want to be positioned where I know I need to be. I know I've kind of drifted away because the Father, he's not leaving us, but we try to drift from him. And if that's you, you're saying, hey, I want to restore that. I want to rededicate myself. Raise your hand. Amen. That's one. I want this. I want a restoration today. It's here for you. Everybody keep your head bowed. If you raised your hand for any of those reasons, let's pray about it. Declare that by coming up and joining me here. So we can start the process for your new life. Just join me right now. Hallelujah. Everybody has their heads bowed. Hallelujah. Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it.